number, you can join in with us. Repeat after me and say, glory, glory, glory to our King.
Glory, glory, glory to our King.
The Lamb who was slain for our being.
The Lamb who was slain for our being.
Glory, glory, glory to our King.
Glory, glory, glory to our King.
The Lamb who was slain for our being.
The Lamb who was slain.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, for we know that without the breath of life, we earn nothing. So everything we have, we owe to you. Lord, we ask a blessing on those who, through obedience, have given a fraction of that which you have given us. We ask, Lord, that you bless those who had it in their heart to give but had not. We ask, Lord, that you bless this church so that it might be good stewards and be wise in the way that we use these funds so that we might advance the kingdom of God here on earth. These things we pray in your name.
We had a wonderful time Friday night at the Temple Beth Kodesh, where we were hosted by the temple and by the rabbi, and just had a marvelous service. The choir sang together, we fellowshiped together, we break bread together, we had an awesome time. We continued out a long tradition that has happened, I believe, from Reverend Johnson to Rabbi Miller, through Rabbi Kotok, through Pastor Dwight Cook, and it continues to go with Rabbi Peter Stein and myself. The Mount Olivet Church and the temple continue to have a wonderful fellowship. I'm fortunate to have fellowship with the rabbi and other leading leaders in our city on a monthly basis, where we come together, fellowship, talk, and encourage each other in this walk and in this work that we do. I could read his portion of his bio to you, but I know you can read for yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present our speaker. For us today, our friend, our brother, the rabbi from the Temple Beth Kodesh. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's put our hands together and let's receive Rabbi Peter W. Stein.
Good morning. You know, I stand up here and it's like Pastor Harvey has given me the keys to the car. And I want to take it out on the freeway and see just how fast this car will go. So I came in this morning and Pastor Harvey said to me, you know, you can ask the folks who come together, you can ask them to respond to you. So let me take these car keys and let me ask you, are we here today? Are we here to celebrate God's presence? Are we here to celebrate that God has created each one of us? And by coming together, we can make our world a better place. Feels good to have the keys to this car. The Eternal One said to Moses, hold out your arm toward the sky, that there may be darkness upon the land, a darkness that can be touched. Moses held out his arm toward the sky, and thick darkness descended upon all the land for 3 days. People could not see one another, and for 3 days, no one could move about. My friends, it is a great honor to be here with you this morning. We began this weekend at the temple. We raised our voices in song and prayer. And Reverend Harvey challenged us and inspired us, asking us, what makes community community. And now we are here, once again raising our voices in song and in prayer with these awesome musicians, this awesome choir that raises their voices celebrating God's presence in our midst. We are here once again raising our voices, and I now have the opportunity to address this same question. What makes community, community? Friends, I began with the bone-chilling words from the scriptures, the picture painted in the book of Exodus. God commanded a plague of darkness. Not just darkness that is the absence of light, but a darkness so thick it could be touched. And with that plague of darkness, the people could not see one another. The people were frozen in place. It scares me to imagine that. A darkness so thick it could be touched. A darkness that hides us from one another, that shuts us off and prevents us from moving. It is a darkness that breaks apart any sense of community, of cooperation, of connection. And in our world today, friends, there is great darkness. My hope and my prayer is that as we come together today, we will commit ourselves to creating light, to building community and connection. The darkness comes when we live separate and apart from our neighbors. The light comes when we reach out and make connections. The darkness comes when we live with gross inequalities in our city, on our streets, and in our schools. The light comes when we create equality for all, when we create equal opportunities. When we end that gap from one street to the next, from one neighborhood to the next, when we end that gap from one home to the next, and we live all together in one home. The darkness comes when we are afraid of those who are different. The light comes when we celebrate that which makes each of us unique, and we learn from all kinds of people. We have a choice today. We have a choice today, my friends. We have a choice to live in suffocating darkness or to bring a great light into all corners of our community. We are here today to celebrate the connection of our two faith communities. Mount Olivet, this beautiful covenant community for more than 100 years. And Brith Kodesh, our Hebrew name, which literally means holy covenant. We are here today because of that covenant. We are here today to lift up the sacred potential of coming together. This covenantal assembly that can lift the shadow and banish the darkness that rests over our community. And we are here today to remember the example of Dr. King, who brought us so much light into our world. We are here today to recognize potential, to create light and to banish just a bit more of the darkness. And through our remembrance and through our worship, let us prepare to take action. A colleague once wrote, as he prepared to take action as a part of the civil rights movement, Friday after Friday and Saturday after Saturday, and I would say Sunday after Sunday, I stand in front of my congregation. I have a prayer book in front of me, and as I read certain words, I very often get the feeling that these are merely words. Where are the deeds? Where are the deeds that live up to these words? And with that reflection, he stood up. He took his prayer book with him. He did not set it down. And he went to take action in a time and a place of great need. This Martin Luther King Day is a special one for me because of an experience I was blessed to have this past summer. In August, I traveled to Montgomery, Alabama. I went to Montgomery not just because of what I saw happening there, but because of what I saw happening here in our city. I traveled to Montgomery as part of a Journey for Justice organized by the NAACP. My leg of the journey was walking from Montgomery to the Georgia state line, and it was hot. The entire journey, led by brothers and sisters blessed with incredible strength and passion, the entire journey traveled from Selma to Washington, D.C., 1,000 miles walked by those passionate souls, every step advocating for racial justice, voting rights, and equal rights in our community. Now, Montgomery is a fascinating and a challenging city, a study in contrasts, especially important as we ask ourselves what makes community, community. There is a grand, beautiful boulevard in the center of that city, a boulevard which ends at the state capitol. In front of the capitol, on the one corner, there is a stone pillar celebrating that Dr. King and thousands of supporters culminated the great 1965 Voting Rights March in that very spot. It is a memorial to a moment of great light. And on that same corner, right across the street, there is another pillar, almost identical, that commemorates that also in that very spot, Jefferson Davis and his supporters celebrated his becoming president of the Confederacy with an inaugural parade at the start of the Civil War. It is a memorial to a moment of suffocating darkness. One street, two memorials, and a choice. And also on that very same street, two buildings stand opposite each other. The first, the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, where Dr. King himself served as minister and organized so many of his great and courageous actions. He was a new graduate of the Crozier Seminary and filled with prophetic zeal. Great light was generated from the activity in that place. And the second building, oh so close, just up the street, the Confederate White House, where Jefferson Davis lived, a place from a dark and hateful time. One street, two buildings, and a choice. The contrasts go on through that city and throughout our country, in our own city too. We can look at the contrasts from one school to the next, from one neighborhood to the next, one city, two realities, and a choice. What makes community community? We need to make choices. We need to travel down the boulevard of life and banish the darkness. I love stories. Stories from our tradition of folklore, stories of all different kinds. And the story is told of a great rabbi, a great scholar who was traveling to teach in a town. Everyone in the town had heard of his great wisdom and skill, but no one had seen him in person before. As the rabbi approached the town, he called out for his wagon driver to stop. He had an idea for how to teach a powerful lesson. The two men got out of the wagon and switched clothes. The rabbi taking off his beautiful coat, his beautiful fur hat, and putting on the driver's worn out, patched up coat and cap. And the driver, now dressed in the beautiful, luxurious clothes, took a seat in the back of the wagon. And the great rabbi, dressed in the old, tired clothes, took the reins and brought them into the town. Now, naturally, as they arrived, there was great commotion and excitement. Everyone rushed to the back of the wagon, taking the man they thought was the rabbi and celebrating his arrival. They brought him into the banquet hall, seated him at the head of the table. Plate after plate of fine food was set before him. The townspeople were singing and dancing and celebrating that such a great scholar had come to see them. And the rabbi, dressed as the driver, he was left outside. He was ignored. He was offered a cold plate of bread and cheese to tide him over while he waited. Now, as the dinner went on, the mayor of the town approached the head of the table. He said to the driver seated at the head of the table in the rabbi's clothes, he said, "We have a terribly complicated problem. We've been debating this for weeks, and no one in the town has been able to figure out the solution." He opened up a big, thick law book and pointed to the problem. The driver, a simple man who had never received much education, he stared at the book. He looked and he looked. He stroked his beard. Works better for Pastor Harvey than for me. He stroked his beard and he sighed. And finally he said to the mayor, "This is the problem no one can solve? Why, this is so simple that I bet even my driver knows the answer." And the rabbi, who everyone thought was the driver, was brought inside. The rabbi looked at the problem and knew exactly how to answer. Everyone was amazed. And then the rabbi revealed what had happened, that the people in the town had judged him by his clothes and by his appearance. He taught them if they really wanted to build their community, if they really wanted to live in the best way, if they really wanted to honor the Lord, then they needed to accept and embrace every person equally. They needed to do right by each and every person who they might encounter. We build community not like this. We build community, each person, one by one by one. We build community through the choices we make when we push away the darkness and create greater light. We build community when we remember that each and every person has value, has gifts, has beauty and potential. I am forever indebted to one of my teachers and mentors, who many years ago suggested a simple but profound spiritual exercise to us who were studying to become rabbis. He counseled us, when you are in a group of people, any group of people, but this was in New York City, which has all different sorts of people. He counseled us, when you're walking down the street or sitting on a bus, when you're with any group of people, wherever you may be, look upon each person you see and say to yourself, created in the image of God. Created in the image of God. Created in the image of God. Look upon each person you see and say, created in the image of God. When we do this, we make a choice. We push away the darkness that on some days seems so thick it can be touched. We push away the darkness that hides us from one another. We become sources of light, reflecting the light that God creates in each and every one of us. The plague of darkness came as the children of Israel were setting out on a journey toward the promised land. 40 years went by in that journey, and the children of Israel came together and heard the words we read this morning from Deuteronomy. You stand this day, all of you, before the Eternal, your God. Your heads, your elders, your officials, your children, your women, even the stranger who dwells among you, the woodchopper and the water drawer, you stand this day, all of you, before the Eternal, your God, to enter into the covenant of the Eternal, your God. We stand all together today, facing a great choice. We stand all together ready to see the sacred and the good, ready to banish the darkness. Stand with me to create light, ready to create a stronger and a closer community. May God bless us with the strength, with the wisdom, and with the courage we need to banish the darkness and to fill our holy community with light. Amen.
Wow, the rabbi.